And so this morning I want to bring my heart across in when I teach, and just that you know, I think, yeah, it's quite a humbling thing to sometimes share on certain truths that you know in the Word, but you know in your life you're not quite 100% there. You're aiming for it, but it's not there. And so this morning I want to share about discipling our children, discipling as parents, and I haven't given it a heading this morning, but I do want to say, if you young guy here and you think, well, this word isn't for me, can I say you're also called to disciple people, so you can take some truths of what I have to share, and so even Matthias and Stefani, this is what's ahead. Prepare yourselves and take some of the things, and yeah. If I had someone sharing these tips, I would have taken them when I was younger. But even for your older people, I want to say, you know, you might think, well, my kids are out the house. No, I want to say we all call to disciple people. And so I'm hoping just some of that truth will resonate with you as well in going out and making disciples. But I'll be the first to say I'm not the model parent. I know my shortcomings. I know I'm not the best when it comes to, you know, just things like discipline and benefits, you know, when it comes to correctness, when it comes to privileges, when it comes to affirmations and rebukes, I fail as a parent many times. But, you know, it's a humbling truth for us as parents, you know, just, I mean, our children are a reflection of us, really. And I love my boys. I know God's got great things for them, but I know I've got to work as a parent towards them reaching those things, and my responsibility. And I'm always reminded of Luke 7:35, when Jesus said this. He says, true wisdom is justified by her children. I want you to stop and think about what he's saying. He says, true wisdom is justified by her children. So it means I can stand up here and have amazing truths or revelations, and I can expound on the word, and I can give a great teachings, but you know, this is a humbling scripture, because it doesn't matter. That is not wisdom in itself. Wisdom is looking at my sons and saying, well, is that wisdom? You know, is who I am resonating in them? And yeah, it's quite a humbling, isn't it? If I were to say to you, if I were to look at your kids and say, by just knowing your kids, I know you. Jesus said that. You'll know them by their fruit. Right, and more specifically by your children, is what he's saying here. So, it's quite humbling, isn't it, as a parent? I say, Henrik, the only way I'm going to be able to know you is just by Liam. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to get to you. I'm going to need to know Liam, and by looking at Liam, I'm going to know you. Think of it. It's pretty intimidating. But as I was reading that scripture, you know, I know, like most of us, including myself, we parents that justify for our children, not by them. You know, what do I mean by that? Well, when you justify for something, it's because you know it's lacking. You know there's a weakness. Otherwise, you don't give an excuse why. That's justifying for something, right? You know, as a parent, you've been tried and tested and been found wanting. That's why you're justifying for it. But I don't want to be one of those parents. I want to be justified by my children, not for them. I want them to be a testimony to others for me. I want my reputation to precede me in a good way through my sons. You know, I want people to come out, yes, are you Connor and Bryden's father? You know, and you know what I'm saying? It's lacquer when parents come and say, is that your sons? You know, you think, oh, you know, when it's a good, hey, no? When someone says, is that your dad? You feel good, hey, when you get that. And so that's been justified by your children, not for your children. And I just felt this morning, it's just, now, I want to say this. I'm not sharing here so we can raise perfect kids. I know we as parents are not perfect. How do I know that? Because your kids aren't perfect, and I know that. And my kids aren't perfect. But the point I want to make this morning is our hearts as a church is not to create perfect kids and perfect parents. Discipling, you know, when Jesus said, go make disciples, what does the word disciple mean? Who remembers? Come on, we've shared it lots. What does the word disciple mean? Come on, Walter, you know. Learner, marat. It means learner. Disciple means learner. It's a simple thing. Go make disciples. Go make learners. Go make people that are teachable, that can hear what I have to say. And then Jesus teaching them to obey. Now, I don't want to have a sitting conversation with my boys every Sunday or Monday about something that they're not doing right and have the same conversation. Hey, I want them to know that what I've said, they need to be obedient in. And so Jesus said, teach them to obey. Teach them to live in what I have for them. And so as we raise children, we've got to disciple them. We've got to teach them. We've got to make them teachable. So that's our hearts, is to make teachable. And we as parents, in order to have teachable children, we've got to be teachable parents. Huh? And that's the thing with discipling. You know, the word disciple, if you think of the word discipline, it's actually a root word for disciple. You know, when I talk about discipline, I'm not talking about hiding. I'm talking about disciplining yourself to do something, to fulfill a task. Okay, we're here to discipline. We're here to disciple our children. We're here to train certain disciplines within them and within us as parents. I know in myself, I might be disciplined to sit down in the Word and study it and love it, but I'm not. There's certain disciplines I don't have. You know, sitting in an office chair for 20 years, I don't have a discipline to run up the mountain with Chad. There's certain physical disciplines that I haven't trained myself, and I'm hoping to get into that. Not to go with, but to train myself, because I'm going to have more time to do those disciplines, you know, and to do things, but to train myself in ways that I haven't trained myself in. And so, you know, I'm thinking of that scripture in Proverbs 22. It says, train up your children in the way that they should go. In other words, put disciplines in them that they know that. And then it says, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it. Oh, have you got that one? When they grow old, they will not what? Because it's so ingrained in who they are. They've been disciplined, trained in that very thing. So when we train them and discipline in the ways of God, it's preparing them. It's preparing that they can go through this. They can do what they're called to do. And And I want to say this, a large part of my bad discipling is how I view the world and how I view the flesh. What do I mean by that? Well, I look at the world sometimes as though that in itself is the inheritance for my children. I sometimes look at the flesh as though that is something that needs to be satisfied for them and gratified for them. And when I look at it from those perspectives, I begin to disciple them in wrong ways because I'm aiming that as their destiny, as that as their pursuit. And I just want to say, you know, God's given us something. He's called us to disciple them for eternity, not for the here and now. Eternity, parents, eternity. Am I the only one who's guilty sometimes of that? That we look at the immediates, oh, shame, you know, and we want to bless them for the here and now. Come on, as parents, we do that. Huh? Am I the only one? We do. We look at the immediates. We want to satisfy them. And we got to remember that this world is a temporal dwelling. It's a moment. We here for, what, 80 years? And that's it. But there's eternity in mind. And the body, and the world is going to fade and everything with it. And the body is constrained by corruption. This body of mine, it's constrained. Their body is constrained by corruption. It seeks after the flesh. And so one day that flesh is going to be put off and we're going to get given a new body. You know, and I'm just reminded, it says how Jesus said in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Think of that. If I'm seeking for the things, and if I'm training my boys to love the things of this world, I'm training them not to love the Father. It's hard, eh? It's quite a hard statement that Jesus made. And you know, when God showed this to me, was quite a few years ago, I went to a private school. Well, I didn't go. My boys went. Lauren was teaching there. I'll keep the school unnamed because we're not here to badmouth the school. My wife taught there, but one of the things I realized there when we went there, because we were kind of the only parents that actually shouldn't be there because everybody else had a lot of money. But we got a good discount because my wife was a teacher there, so we paid like a third of the price of the school fees, you know, one of the benefits. And I remember always going and just seeing the privileges that some of these kids had, you know, from the lunches they would have, from the sporting equipment that they would have, from the parties that they would, the parents would have, and the gifts that these kids would get, you know, you kind of, my boys' mouths used to drool. You know, it's like, I didn't know there was such a thing, you know, toys and what have you. And I remember as a parent, I always felt like, yes, my kids are so hard done by, you know. I want to say that's a lie from the enemy. As parents, I faced it there at the school because it was so evident. You know, everybody was rich and wealthy, and it became more a reality to me. And I felt, you know, that scripture in Colossians 2:10, where God says, you are complete in him. My children, I need to train them that they are complete in Christ alone. And I want to say, if you're a parent and you're often comparing to other parents, I want you to take that lie out of your head and take the scripture and say, you are complete in him. My children are complete in him. And I need to give them Jesus because he is that which completes them. Not the material world, not the things of this world, but those things that Christ has given us. And this is the truth. You know, in that moment, I felt the Lord say this, you know, don't give your kids what you can afford. Give them what they can handle. Don't let the size of your wallet determine the size of their gift. And, you know, it's just because I think this is what we need to realize. You know, in our discipling, it's not only disciplining them of what they shouldn't do and to train them of how to do things, but even the gift of giving. You know, in the gift of giving, you're shaping minds, you're forming characters in your giving. Do you know that? And God just challenged me because I realized for my boys that their gratitude never came by what they acquired, but rather by what they appreciated. I'm going to say that. Their gratitude never came by what they acquired, but what they appreciated. There was something in them that I knew if I gave a gift prematurely, they never looked after that gift. If I gave them something that was just beyond in advance because I just wanted to bless them, or I gave one so I must give the other, you know, that entitlement thing. And I realized in that it was wrong because some gifts were premature and it creates something in them that was something that they couldn't appreciate. And so why am I saying this is that we've got to understand that when God disciples us, when he trains us, when he gives us gifts, we've got to do it in a sense that we're preparing them for eternity. You guys with me? Very quiet this morning. Good. And so our objective as parents is not to buy the world for our kids. Think of it. That's not our objective. Our objective is not to give them the best education. I know I'm sharing something that I'm challenged with. Okay, Lauren will tell you. Because I believe, you know, the best education, going to varsity and all of that, you know, talking to Nadis and Lindy, they've helped me process certain things. But I realize, you know, I want them to be at the top. I want them to be at the corporate, you know, the top of a corporate ladder. I want them to have all the advantage other kids don't have. You know, as a parent, that's what you want. That's it. But I realized in this is that, you know, I'm not against education, but I've got to realize knowledge puffs up. I'm not against people having money, but the love of it can lead to all kinds of evil. I'm not against them going for a corporate ladder and reaching to become the greatest. But Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, you've got to become a servant. You know, the kingdom is so different, church. It is so different. The way up is actually the way down in the kingdom. And I've got to train my boys, this is how you go down so that you can go up. This is how you humble yourself. Keep yourself humble that God would lift you up in the due time. And it's hard as a parent because we want to see our kids lifted up, don't we? And we want them to be on the top, but it's just the way the world works is different in how we disciple that process for them. And there's something I want to just share on here because we know in ourselves that when we pursue things, you know that everything we pursue has only got a season. It's got a moment. Think of it. Whatever you pursued in life here on earth, it's been a moment. Hey, I mean, everything fades, it withers, it breaks. Think of technology. You have it for a moment. It's the top at the moment, but then tomorrow your new cell phone is, you know, it's obsolete. You know, the fashion that you wear. Today is lacquer. It looks pretty. What do you get? Miser than tomorrow. Ugh, that's yesterday. You know, think of it. Everything is finite. Everything has a limit. It has an expiry date. But you know, the thing of the kingdom, it's eternal. And so when we pursue the things of eternal, that is eternal, is because it can only come from an infinite God. And so when God gives us infinite things to pursue, we need to take that because that is which is what's going to last. Am I right? And so that's what we need to pursue. And I just realized, you know, this is what I want to share. I made a note as I was preparing. You know, our rewards that God has is not just something that he produces for you. It's something that he produces through you. It's something eternal because he's doing it through you. There's something that God is going to prepare, but it's not excluding you. It's involving you. Okay, I want you to grasp this because what I mean by this, and I'm going to give you a practical illustration now. You know, our reward, let me rephrase that because some of you might have missed it. Our rewards is that, the rewards that God has is not just something that he produces for you. It's something that he produces through you. I'm going to explain what I mean by it. I'm going to give you an illustration and then I want to back it up with scripture. Okay, so that same school that I was talking about, you would have the parents that would know how to give good gifts to their kids and they would always try and satisfy and build up their kids, but they would do it in a worldly way. And so they would try and buy their kids emotional confidence. How would they do that? And Laura and I would watch this because, you know, observing as a poor parent, well, no, I won't say a poor parent, observing as a normal parent. But, you know, one of the things I'd realized through the school, I know if you remember when they have prize givings and the kids would have all these prizes and medals and trophies. And, you know, the school would have the normal trophies, you know, the things that were for the school, like, you know, tennis, rugby, cricket, and whatever academic, you know, achievements that they have. And you'd have all these trophies and stuff. And you'd look at these parents, and the parents were actually in competition to one another. It wasn't so much the kids. It was the parents. And you'd watch. And I actually look at these parents, and you look at that kid's parent, and you look at their kid's parent, and they all got these trophies. And you know, you'd see the competitiveness in the parents. And one of the things I realized, when a kid didn't achieve, or one of the parents felt that kid is one up on their kid, you know what these wealthy parents would do? They would look at what their kids are achieving. Okay, this is what they would do. And I observed this. They looked at what their kids were achieving, and they would donate a gift of the achievements that their kids were doing. And so you would find that these parents would donate a trophy. Let's say it's like trophies that the school never had because actually they were insignificant sports. They were sports that really didn't play a big role, you know, but their kids were excelling in it. And so they would donate this trophy and you'd see, wow, you know, I'd say, Lauren, yeah, I didn't know there was a sport like that. And she's like, yeah. And you'd see the parent, and you'd see whose kid would go and collect the trophy was the parent that donated the trophy. You know what I'm saying? So there's always like to be one up, you know. And why do I say this? Is because, you know, when God gives us things, you know, he doesn't build around you when it comes to trophies. God doesn't go, hey, look, hey, what's John doing? Okay, let me come alongside John and let me reward him according to what John is doing. It's not how God works. God builds, he doesn't build around you, he builds through you. And there's something that he builds within you in doing the processes of that. And so, because I know in us, I know in me, if God was to build around me, he's going to build around dead works. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah that our works are filthy rags before the Lord. There's nothing good that I can produce. There's nothing good that Chad can produce. There's nothing good that Bob can produce. And so God doesn't build things around us as if, God, come follow me because I know where I'm going. I don't. And my gifts are come through God working within me, okay? And so God produces this through me. And he does it through a working of a process that involves pain. A poem that I read, and it really struck me. I don't normally read poems and stuff, but I felt this poem really speaks about someone who understands the workings of God and the process of his working through them to become their trophy. And so it's actually an anonymous poet. I don't know who it was. It says, when God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall be amazed, watch his methods, watch his ways. How he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into the trial shapes of clay which only God understands, while his tortured heart is crying, and he lifts up beseeching hands. How he bends but never breaks. When he's good, he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses, and which every purpose fuses him. By every act includes him. See, that's includes him. To try his splendor out, God knows what he's about. You know, God is working something through us, church. He's working something through your kids. Don't try and shortcut that. Don't try and stop it. Don't try and cushion it. Let God have his work. Let him work through your children. And you know, I want to say this is scriptural. I want to back this up with scripture. It's not Benny speaking here. Ephesians 2:10. You guys know I love the scripture. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works in which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in it." Think of that. We are his workmanship. You know why the world does it differently? Because they'll say, you need to know who you are and what you want. But if I look at the scripture, you've got to know whose you are and know what he wants. You are his workmanship. And, you know, as parents, I don't want my kids to have my glory. I want them to be glorified in the Lord. I want the glory that God has for them. I mean, think of it. As a parent, I'm arrogant to say, I know what's best for my boys. I've only been here for, 45 years? And I think I know. Think of it. God's done this from the foundations of the world, that he's had this prepared for my children. Who am I as a parent to think I know better? Come on. Come on. Don't deprive that. I want the best for them. And I've got to realize that God has prepared this. I've got to allow the work of God to flow through them. And as parents, we've got to realize we don't want to glory in us. We don't want our children to glory in us. We want them to glory in Christ. And I'm just reminded of that scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, this momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Think of that. And it's beyond comparison, that scripture says. Beyond comparison. In other words, I don't even know it as a parent. This eternal weight of glory that God has for my children. And so, like I shared, this glory that comes is not just God working something for my kids, it's God working something through my kids. And so if I were to say, how does that glory look? You know, with each person, it's different. But I want to say this, there is no glory without the cross. There is no exaltation without humiliation. There is no resurrection without dying. You first got to die in order to have the resurrection. And we've got to train our kids, and this is the key. We've got to train our kids that they're actually friends with pain, that they're actually friends with suffering, that they're actually friends with the cross. I know, that's hard as a parent to make them friends with those things. Hear what I'm saying, because it's scriptural. I'm going to back it up too. It's scriptural. I have to, because as parents, we want to protect. It's naturally, instinctively within us. But you know, if your children are not friends with pain, if they're not friends with suffering, if they're not friends with the cross, they're going to be friends with the world. And Philippians 3:19 says, many live as enemies of the cross. If your kids are not friends with the cross, they will be enemies of the cross. And then it says this, their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. Make your friends enemy. Make your children friends with the cross. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 16:24. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to find to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my name's sake will find it. You know, I know we know the scripture, and I know we know it for ourselves, but do we know it for our children? Eh? Do we? God, eh? And I want to say this. I think the reason I'm sharing today is because I read something, and I shared this just quickly with the elders. What provoked me to share this morning about parenting our kids well was the fact of an article I read. And this article is revolved around Christian persecution around the world. And it's talking about just the days. So they would look at a lot of statistics that's happening. And one of the things they were sharing on is how things have changed over this last year. Just how Christian nations, Christian countries, have actually begun to swing their legislative bills that it's designed as a platform to persecute the Christians, to persecute the church. And on this article, what really struck me as a parent, what really like hit me, you know, you can read something, even if it's secular, you can read something and you think, oh, God, this is you speaking here. And I felt this, and I want you to listen. On this article, it said this, and it was a small quote, but it like really hit me between the eyes. It says, we may be discipling a generation of martyrs. Think of your kids. Think of what I'm saying. You might be discipling a generation of martyrs. I don't know. That hit me hard. Because I thought about my boys. I thought about, oh, God, if that is true, if within the next 10 years we're going to see people martyred for Jesus, and it's possible, if we see what's happened in 1 year, I don't think 10 years is too far out. But if that's the case, what building blocks am I putting in them now for that moment? You can prepare your kids for a great education, for an amazing marriage, and all those things are good because we talk about them, and it is important. But let me tell you, are you preparing them for that day of martyrdom, if it does come? If they say, within that time, it happens. Have you put building blocks in place that they can say, I love Christ no matter what you do? And you know what? I thought of that, and I thought, you know, Lord, when you said Abraham had faith, I understand what you mean. To lay your child on the altar for the Lord. That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing for God to do, for us to do, for the Lord. And I'm really pro for us being ambitious for our kids. I'm really pro for us really moving and bringing a momentum that they move in the ways of the Lord. But you know, that zeal that we have as parents needs to be so that it's so prepared that they are destined for eternal things and not for the temporal things. And I just thought of that scripture. I know Andrew mentioned it, and this is going to be my last scripture. But just in Matthew 20, verses 20 to 28, I wanted to go there quickly. Because here was an ambitious mom who wanted the best for her kids. And the mother of Zebedee. Now, the mother of Zebedee's sons, that's James and John, who came to him, who is Jesus, with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what is it you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine might sit one on your right hand and the other at the left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I have been baptized with. But to sit at my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared by the Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be the great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did, not to come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And you know, that mother, think of the arrogance of this woman. Lord, can my two fishermen's sons, who are ignorant, who are arrogant, because we read just a few scriptures before that, they were in Samaria, and the people in Samaria weren't responding the way that they had hoped. And so they said to Jesus, well, let's just call fire from heaven and consume them. And Jesus said, do you know what you're actually asking? I didn't come here to destroy the world. I came to save it. And I think that's why Jesus gave them the name Sons of Thunder. I don't know. There's no scripture, But you know, think of the arrogance of this mother. Let my one just squeeze the one on your left and the other. I'm not really fussy which one where, you know, left or right. Just, you know, put them. Think, King of the Universe. You know, I think the ambition of this woman was very ignorant. But one of the things Jesus said, you know, you don't actually know what you're asking. And I want to say, as parents, you know, when you say you want your kids to glory in Christ, do you actually know what you're asking? Do you actually know that you're asking the Lord to give him a cup that he's prepared for them? A baptism that he's prepared. And I'm not talking about being baptized in the water. I'm talking about a baptism of suffering. in order that God might glorify them. Think of that. And so I want to kind of close off on this, because in the process of knowing what happened to James and John, we read that James was actually the first martyr. He was killed with a sword by King Herod. Later on, John didn't die because of martyrdom, but he was sent to the Isle of Patmos, where he was a slave and he worked in the mines. And in fact, I think at one stage he was even thrown in oil, hot oil. Imagine that. Look. But they faced their share of suffering. John was actually literally baptized in oil. But there was suffering for them. There was pain involved. And I want to encourage us as parents. You know, I find this, the fact that we've been doing these Bible verses and saying to the parents, take those scriptures, bring them to your kids, share it with them, let it become a reality, not just, oh, what did you learn on Sunday? That was sweet. Okay, go home. Actually take that and say, well, what does that mean to you? Start now, Hendrik, start it now, John, Renee. What does that mean? What does that scripture mean? What does it mean to us? What is God saying? And I love what God is doing in our kids' church. I hear amazing things of just how God is speaking through our little ones. And I love the fact that as a church, it's not just women doing the kids' church. We've got husbands and wives doing it. I want to honor the guys that are doing it. I think, and those who want it, let's build into our kids. We're building into their future. We're building into what God has for them so they can carry on the message when we no longer can. And so I want to encourage you guys as parents, don't minimize that work. Those who are part of the kids' church, it's an important value. And for us as parents, we've got a job to do. There's building blocks that we have. I know there's things I've still got to do with my boys before that day comes, before that day of persecution comes. There's things I want to instill in them that they can say yes to Jesus and no to the world, no matter how painful it is. Sure. You want to share anything?
I feel just in this moment as well, God's just wanting to speak to our teenagers. Sorry, guys. Because, you know, and as much as this is a word to the parents with young kids, I think there's a response from the kids to the parents. And I was amazed, because this morning I was reading Romans 12. and again, I'm just, as Benny's preaching and wrapping it up, I'm going through this and going, oh my God, look at this. And this is something I think, and actually funny enough, we were having an awesome conversation with Noah Bex and Christy last night around the dinner table about how they as children need to respond to us as their parents, but how they need to be responding to other parents, and how as youngsters we need to be responding to our parents. And so I feel God has actually got your guys' number this morning, you youngsters, and I don't want to embarrass, and I don't want you, but I feel like there needs to be firstly a humbling of our hearts. Okay. And this is why, because the whole thing on discipline, I'm just like, why are we disciplined? And if I read in Romans 12, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And so as legitimate children and as legitimate sons, you are disciplined. And so I even felt this morning, and maybe just an opportunity of how do we respond. I think God, and I'm trusting that even the words of like the repentance, I believe that there's some of you guys that have hardened your heart towards your parents. That there's something there that has just grown in your heart towards your parents, your moms and dads. And I would ask that this morning you allow the Holy Spirit to come and convict you. And that you would soften your hearts, that you would not allow, it talks a little bit later about a root of bitterness. It says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And discipline is there to help us so that root of bitterness will not grow up. And so just for us, and maybe, I mean, I know I'm talking specifically to the youngsters, because But I think even for us as adults as well, that we allow the discipline. I mean, the word before it says, the Father disciplines those whom He loves. He teaches us those, and He loves us. And so when you are disciplined, and actually it goes on to say He chastises every son whom He receives. And so when we're disciplined by the Father, we're disciplined by our earthly, know that it's not out of anger or out of frustration, it's out of love. And then we need to respond in such a way. So guard your hearts. Don't allow a thing to develop in your heart towards your parents and towards them where they ask you to do things and there's this, like, well, why must I do it kind of thing. And the same goes in terms of understanding the leadership in church when there's a request. And so we were having this conversation and I just said, you know, for the youngsters, that knowing that when we stand up here as elders, we don't just represent fathers or your buddy's dad. We actually represent Jesus. And the response needs to be not only as unto a father, but as unto Jesus. Why? So that we can endure. But Benny, that actually we're discipling guys that will face martyrdom one day. Endurance. We're building into endurance. We're building into endurance. The hope set before you. The hope set before you. So it's not so that we can be, I love what Benny said, it's like the fruit, like you want to know the fruit, look at the children kind of thing. Look at your sons and daughters. I must be honest, I need to honor my parents in this moment. And they're not here with us, they're in Mossel Bay. But I've had this revelation of late that actually my parents did an incredible job. As tough as it was at times, but they did an incredible job of raising three men. Three boys, firstly, that became men. That had been married for almost 20 years. Happily married. Two of them are full-time in the ministry. The third one serves in a church. He's not full-time, but he serves faithfully. They have children that love Jesus. And I looked at my mom and dad and I said, I want to, I said that to them at their wedding anniversary the other day. I said, I want to honor you. Because here are three boys. I mean, look at today where people are getting divorced, where people are not serving the Lord. Here is a legacy, 50 years of marriage, a legacy where all three sons serve the Lord. Two of those sons are serving full-time and counting for the kingdom. And their children are counting. I mean, my brother's youngsters, they hold Anya and Ella. They're 7 and 5, and yet they are in a witness. I spent some time with one of the guys that relates to the 412 churches from Zambia, Marnie, on Friday. Him and I spent some time together. And he was just, like, your brother's kids are amazing. Like, he spent time with my brother. He says, man, I love your brother's kids. I mean, I don't even know Marnie. He spent one night with my brother. But he was absolutely, they shine Jesus. They love Jesus. He had these 5 and 7-year-olds loving Jesus. I'm going, that's testimony. That's testimony of faithfulness. And so for you guys that are growing and still learning and still submit your hearts to Jesus, submit your hearts to what He has. And maybe this morning, and you need to go to your parents afterwards and do some repenting. Maybe afterwards, you need to go to your mom and dad and apologize for the way you've spoken to them. Maybe the way you've treated them. Maybe the way you haven't honored them in your language. Maybe you here, sitting here, have dishonored your parents. They might be older. And I would encourage you to search your heart and go make right. If you have in some way dishonored your parents and brought shame upon them by your actions, by your behavior, because it's not fitting to the Lord. Why? Because this is what is pleasing to the Father, that when we represent Jesus on earth, that is what draws people to Him. And this is where it starts. It starts with you and me. And so we have an opportunity to represent Jesus to a lost and dying world, counterculture, counter the culture of this day, where actually we can shine Jesus. Why don't we close our eyes? Why don't we close our eyes? So Heavenly Father, just lead us in a prayer. Maybe just as you've been with us this morning, maybe you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about. You're not in relationship with Him. You haven't had an opportunity of giving your life to Jesus and following him, and maybe you know about him, but you do not know him. Maybe you even here as a son, your heart is hard towards your parents. Or a daughter, your heart is hard towards your parents. You know, the Bible says that every single one of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Every single one of us deserve death and eternal separation from him. But yet when we come to him repentant and we choose to repent and we ask him to forgive us, he's just and merciful to forgive us. His blood, we sang about the blood, it washes us clean. His blood comes, it washes over. It washes over, it removes the stains of sin in our life. The blood cleanses us. And it's by believing that Jesus died on a cross for our sins, and in that, and accepting that he is Lord of us, Lord of our lives, Lord of all, in believing that he can come and transform us and change us into his likeness. And so just this morning, as every eye is bowed, if you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, maybe even as Benny has spoken and shared, even as I've just shared as well, that there's something in you that just longs for an intimate relationship with Jesus. Can I ask you to be bold and just courageous enough just to say, could you pray with me this morning? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Is there anyone here this morning? I need him. I need to get my life right with him. You can't have all your ducks in a row. You need Jesus will come and do the work. You don't have to get all your ducks in a row. You don't have to sort everything out before you come to him. Come to him first. Come to him first. And then, is there anyone here that has never asked Jesus to be Lord of their life, Savior, has never had the opportunity to repent of their sin? Last chance with me saying, but it's not your last chance ever. But right now, I don't want to stand here too long, but I do want to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus. So anyway. Okay. All right, let me just, with our eyes closed, just for the rest of us then, just even, and especially for like what I picked up on in terms of the youngsters, just where you know where you're at. You know your heart. So maybe for some of the older folk and who have older parents and all, like you know how you might have hardened your heart towards your parents or towards them because you thought they were unfair or you felt that they were too hard. Or can I just ask you to just say, Lord Jesus, would you forgive me for hardening my heart towards my parents? Would you forgive me for allowing a rebelliousness to rise up or a bitterness to rise up against my parents? Would you forgive me? Would you wash me clean with your blood? Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sin. And I bring that before you this morning. I know even though there are times when I didn't understand or maybe even I felt that they were unfair, I've allowed something in my heart to just grow towards my mom and my dad. And, you know, I don't want to excuse their sin or whatever they might have done. And but there's no justification for us to allow our hearts to become hard towards them because they might have got it wrong. And yes, I think some of us have got parents that seriously missed the mark. But even still, even in this moment, if your parents don't know Jesus, start to pray for them and say, Lord Jesus, would you, firstly, start with me. Change my heart, my attitude, the way I respond to them. Give me a love like never before for my parents, even in their hardness, even in their harshness, even in the way they've dealt with me or my children even. I ask you to give me a love for them. And begin to pray for your parents. Begin to pray for them. And begin to trust in God to work a miracle in your relationship with them. I pray that, Jesus, right now, that even as we leave this place, you would have started something. And we begin to see and we begin to hear the stories of relationships being restored and reconciliation. Because you are a loving God. You're a loving Father. And even for those with us this morning, even like we just begin to see your favor break out because we respond to you, Jesus. I just believe that as we start to obey God's word and as we, because that is what we call to, obeying his word. And as we obey him, He blesses us. We pray that right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just take a moment just to, as where we're seated, just to pray, even like just search your heart and say, God, I know that the guys are hitting it on the head there. Like I haven't really responded well in the past. And Lord, I need to adjust. And I know because you called me to. Just even for the moms and dads as well. I just know sometimes, you know, as Benny said, we get it wrong. We do. We're not perfect. We're not perfect, but even for us as parents to be praying, say, Lord, would you help me to get it right? Would you help me to get it right? Where I'm messing up, where I'm maybe losing it with my son or my daughter, where I struggle with anger, I struggle with frustration, that you would help me. Maybe you need to sit down with your kids, and I have these conversations with my kids and say, how can I be a better dad? Like, where am I messing up, and what am I doing wrong? Maybe you need to do that, moms and dads. Sit down with your sons and daughters and say, even be vulnerable. How have I failed you? I know that like sounds, but sometimes like how am I messing up? Maybe your kids are too young for you to do that. Come and sit down with some friends and say, can you spend enough time with me to see how I respond? What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? How can I be a better parent? I want to be. I know Benny and I often, he comes to me and we chat and we encourage one another and he'll confess where he's falling short as a dad and I'll encourage him and we'll pray together. We need that. We need each other. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the word and thank you that Jesus, you are shaping us more into your likeness. And I pray that as we go from here, that we as parents would respond, we would hunger and desire just to be to do it in a way that honors you, help us to get it right. For us as sons and daughters, help us to respond in a way that is honoring and pleasing to you. I pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yo. Good stuff.